traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's the WWE World Heavyweight Champ, Seth Rollins. Let's go.
Are you a romantic type of guy?
You know what? Yes, I am.
Will
yes,
you go
I
to Bukidi Beppo with Becky Lynch?
What the hell did you just say?
Nothing.
Getting punched or getting rocked brings out this animal where you're just like, let's go.
You're the first evidence I have that Iowa is actually a place. And I know that they have corn there?
Yes, corn. What I remember is seeing somebody come around the corner, tackles me. Everybody was trying to get him off, but his legs were kind of like this. So I just reached up and just...
No!
Back in the day, escorts, I felt, were a little more private. Like, you had your clientele, and the old rich guy would pay for the young girl to follow him around, and maybe for a little extra pay, there was a little extra.
Fooling. Well, now it's like a whole thing. Like, it's been exposed by the likes of, you know, Super Snake and other Instagram documentarians.
For sure. Well, whose yacht is that, lady? Whose yacht are you on?
And
why are you in Sicily this week and Monaco next week and then London this week and then LA? Who are you chasing around? Just, you're not paying for any of this
well,
stuff.
Well, and London's like the jump off point because it's Euro summer.
100%.
And so it's like, you got Mykonos, you've got Ibiza, as they say here.
100%.
You've got Saint-Tropez for the real wealthy ones, yep. You know, and they're all yep. here jumping off. Who else is jumping off is our guest today.
Yeah, let's
who is going to walk behind the first ever
behind us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the WWE World Heavyweight Champ, Seth Rollins. Let's go.
Yo, what he did right there was basically like, okay, shut the fuck up about whatever you're talking about. I'm here.
Yeah.
What a setup you guys got here.
It's not bad.
Is this for decoration or can I actually drink it?
You can drink it.
Oh, I need it.
I can use a little.
Stay hydrated, brother. You can wear the headphones if you so please.
Oh, yeah, why not?
You don't have to. We
it
like
puts
it.
Puts you in the zone.
Why not? Yeah, get me in. Just get me all the way in.
You'll notice it gives you that radio sound.
Yeah. All right. Now I feel like we're alone in the room. It's kind of romantic in its own way, right? Just the three of us hanging out.
Are you
here.
A romantic type of guy?
Maybe in some ways. I don't know about like, you know what? Yes, I am.
Like,
will you go to
Bukidi Beppo with Becky Lynch?
What the hell did you just say?
Nothing.
Buca di Beppo? Is that what you just said?
It's an Italian
what is
spot.
That? I don't know what
that's
that
romance.
Is.
That's the peak of romance.
I don't know. I've never heard of that in my life.
Well, that's because you're from Davenport, Iowa.
you know all about Davenport. You've been there.
I learned about Davenport. You know, Mike wasn't even sure people from Iowa existed.
You're the first evidence I have that Iowa is actually a place.
Oh, okay.
Because I know that I've heard of it, and I know that they have... Corn there?
Yes, corn. Spit it out, Junior.
I know they have corn there, but I didn't know it was actually real.
Yes.
So now that you're
it's a
here,
real place with real people. There's real buildings, the whole nine.
Yeah,
I
saw him.
Yeah, he's seen it.
I can
no, but like, it. But like, for example, like North Dakota. Like, you've heard of that, right? But have you ever actually met a person like, yeah, I'm from North Dakota?
I think I did once, but I felt like he was AI.
Yeah.
You guys haven't traveled that much, have you? I mean, look, I've been fortunate enough in this gig to have wrestled in all 50 states, many, many countries, 6 continents, the whole nine. So I've been to North Dakota.
Fargo?
All right?
Can I ask?
Cold. Yes, you can ask whatever, but it's cold. We always go. I'm telling you, the logistics people, whoever put these schedules together, they're just throwing stuff or they're trying to rib us, right? Because we always go to Fargo like in the middle of February when there's 6 feet of snow and it's negative 40 degrees and the bus wants to freeze. It's brutal, dude. It's brutal up there.
I feel like the WWE logistics team just has a dart and a map and they're like, where are we going this week?
That's it.
Is Antarctica the continent you haven't wrestled on?
That's the one.
Any goals of doing that?
Let's do it, man. Let's book a show in the Arctic Circle. Let's ride. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. All the other ones I've covered.
So speaking of Antarctica, let's break the ice, Seth.
Nice.
I'm not mad at you for beating me at WrestleMania. I'm not mad. I'm going to take that L on the chin. You're a legend. It was an honor to lose to you, Seth Rollins. And you put on a hell of a performance and curb stomped me. Well, stomped me. Stomped into you, the mat. And let's put that behind us for a second. And let's be professionals about this podcast, because I'll also be honest with you. You do have something that I like currently, and that's the World Heavyweight Championship.
Ah, yeah, yeah. We got a new title in the house since you and I tangoed after WrestleMania. World Heavyweight Championship. We're live. You know what? I will. I'll accept that. I'll accept that. I have to be honest with you. I was a bit skeptical about your venture into WWE, but the hard work that you put forth leading into WrestleMania, and the effort that you and KSI really put forth during the contest itself, there's a level of respect that comes with that. You know, there's a level of respect when you get in there, you tango with anybody at WrestleMania on a stage like that. There's a level of respect that comes with that. So I'm with you. We'll put it behind us. We'll be professional here. And just don't come anywhere near the World Heavyweight title. Please.
Yeah, yeah. No promises. I say that just because, you know, I just extended my contract for a bit of time, and I'm optimistic and idealistic, and I got big goals, and we're in the same industry. I don't know.
Hey, respect, bro. Respect. I get that.
But thanks for coming on the podcast.
I know. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Mr. Rollins, I'll tell you this. You don't have much to worry about. He's never won anything.
It's not really my thing.
Entire life.
It's not really my thing.
You don't have to worry, bro.
Yeah look, the bottom line is you always take more L's than W's. Always. That's how it is.
Especially when your name's Logan.
When you're
L's in your name.
When you're a grinder, man, that's just how it goes.
And he's on Grindr.
Oh, God bless you. Well, I learned about Grindr actually in WWE. I never knew what it was. There was one person, and I won't name names. I won't incriminate him in any way, but he was on Grindr. I mean, he was a habitual, I think still is, a habitual Grindr user.
Does that just make you a Grindr? Is that what the term would be?
I mean, sure. He is 100% a Grindr. He is ritualistic about it.
He could be marching today the streets of London. It's LGBTQ Pride March Day.
I know it's the month, you know, it's June and all like that. Yeah. I didn't know there was a full march today.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
All across Europe, they're going for it. So look, Seth. Who's your stylist? You got some wacky clothes. You came in here with big sunglasses. Every time I saw you in the ring, you look like you're about to fly away.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually a tame look for you guys. Yeah. I dressed down a little bit. Yeah. So my guy's name is King Troy. That's his handle on Instagram. His name's Troy Haynes. He's an awesome cat based out of Los Angeles. He was actually doing a ton of work for the ladies of WWE. Still does a little bit, but that's how I got him, Becky. Becky was like, I got a guy, and he's always wanted to style a dude. He styles chicks all the time, but he wanted to style a guy. And you didn't really know who I was pre-visionary, right? So, I mean, you've seen me in my element a little bit. I'm very dressed down. I'm very no frills, relaxed, chill. So this is out of my, I'm actually out of my element right now in this suit. But when I was coming back from, I want to say, paternity leave, we had had our baby, and I was coming back, and I wanted to do something different. She was like, why don't you try this? And so I hit him up, and the suit started coming, and then it turned into whatever it is now. It's this monstrosity of, I mean, you were there at WrestleMania. You saw the entrance. It was nuts. So, yeah, he puts a lot of it together, works with my gear guy. His name's Mikazi. Surratt, he works in WWE, and they put it all together and come up with some wild looks. So.
Are they styling you for, like, if you're out on the town in Iowa having a baked potato? Like, are you getting an outfit for that as well?
Absolutely not. No? That's what I'm saying.
Because he's styled for, like, he'll wake up, like, Saturday morning, it'll be, like, pool look.
No, Logan, Saturday, come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got a lookbook.
You got a whole thing.
And I'll tell you why. I'm fashionably inept.
Yes.
Like really bad.
Yes.
So if I don't have that, I'll look like a pilgrim.
That's fair. I guess I'm okay with looking like a pilgrim. I'm like, when I'm in my...
You actually could look like a pilgrim. Yeah, nice.
When I'm in my own... I don't care. Yeah, I mean, put me in a hat and the whole nine. Yeah, but yeah.
Put him in a hat.
Yeah, yeah. But no, when I'm by myself, when I'm just at my wrestling school or whatever, like, I will wear, it's only shorts and a t-shirt. That's it, and sneakers. I don't wear anything. And, like, I'm of the opinion when I go out, this is a mean thing to say. Not mean, but it's just, when I'm in Iowa, like, in my own space, everybody knows kind of who I am. And, like, I don't need to like dress up to go to this whatever the one fancy restaurant is in Davenport. Like I'm just gonna show up in my shit and it's fine. Everything's gonna be fine. No one's gonna turn me away. You know, but yeah, I'm fully the same. I'm very fashionably inept as well. It's a good way to put
makes
it.
Makes three of us. I could use King Troy myself. Is he taking new clients?
Always, man. If you need a look, he's there for you. I'm not kidding you. He's the best. He's fantastic.
His name is great to me. King like, I Troy, feel like he baby. Rolls up in a Trojan horse, a wooden horse.
He rocks, man. He's so good. And he's like I said, he's done the girls for a while, still does some of them as well. Gets Becky some stuff, Charlotte, some of the other ones. But I think I'm the only dude on the books. So,
well, I like the vibe. Join
I mean, it's working, Seth.
Yeah, for sure.
It's working. I'm obviously new to the WWE. I'm new to the world of Seth Rollins. And the fans love you. They are eating it up right now. The Seth Rollins character, the act, the look, the appeal. Do you feel that you're in the pinnacle of your career at the moment?
I feel like I'm kind of just starting my prime. It's an interesting prime.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just starting to get into it. I've been wrestling since I was roughly 16, 17 years old, so 20 years now. So in our industry, there are some exceptions, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, he's kind of an exception. Obviously, he was sort of a part of the business his entire life because his family was in it. But like his real run was only like 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like it was tiny. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, historically, the you need years and years of experience, thousands of matches. You've got to build equity with your audience. And so I'm like at the point now where I'm 37. I think I'm 37. Yeah, 37. And so like I've got probably this maybe 6 to 10 year window, depending on my health, where like I'm going to be in the sweet spot where like my body can still go, you know, like but my brain is also finally caught up to where I am physically. So like mentally and physically, I haven't deteriorated. I'm like in that perfect zone where I'm like, I'm not quite what I was when I was your age athletically, but I'm still pushing it. And like mentally, I can read the room when we go out there. It's like cake for me. So I'm in that zone for like, I'd say 6 to 10 years, depending on, you know, how my body holds up. And then who knows? But, you know, then I'll turn into Undertaker and come once a year for WrestleMania. But yeah, like I'm feeling really good right now. Like I'm in a sweet spot.
Well, it is completely reliant on your body. And this is not a diss, but you know, 10 years ago you were yoked. You were ripped, and you're still in great shape now. But you know, back then you looked like a fucking hunk, you know,
and I'm still a hunk.
Yeah,
man.
You're, no, obviously,
like
obviously,
a fine wine over here.
Obviously, you're still a hunk. You're aging like a fine wine. But are you doing anything to preserve your body? Like, are you on any peptides? Any ice baths? Or like, how are you staying alive?
No, honestly, I just do my same thing. You know, I try to just change my training up, you know, based on how I feel. And like, yeah, there's constant injuries, you know, like my knee's been bugging me since before WrestleMania. Yeah. I was having issues with that. You know, my neck acting up, my low back has been at me for like since 2019. Probably should get some surgery on that, but trying to just, you know, do whatever I can to make sure I don't need it, because I have a couple of stress fractures back there.
No stems.
So I tried some stem cells. I've done a couple stem cell treatments, and I didn't find that. I found that they were temporarily helpful.
Okay.
I didn't find that, and I wasn't taking time off, so I wasn't just idling while I was on the stem cells. I was still working pretty much full time schedule with WWE. So I found that temporarily helpful, but long term, it kind of had faded off a little bit. So I'd say I got like about maybe 4 or 5 months of like, ooh, okay.
That feels good. Right, I feel like everybody has like a different experience with him, because Rey Mysterio like swears by him.
Yeah.
Like he's like, that's the reason why I'm still going.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, I have no reason to believe that he is saying anything but the truth.
For sure. Because
he is just unreal. He's one of one. I mean, that guy, I think he turns 50 soon. And like, what are we talking about? Yeah. You watch him in the ring, it's like unbelievable. He hasn't aged a day. Like, I was talking about entering my prime, and he's like, he's just, like I said, one of one. He's like a freak, dude.
Yeah.
Freak.
And a sweetheart.
Yeah. Up there, and I'll say this, it might be a hot take, but he's one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time.
Oh, for sure.
And I think, you know, people kind of like, oh, well, he wears a mask. Like, there's like all these kind of like, oh, but this, but that. You know, he's not like a great pro. He's not like a, you know, a Rock, an Austin, a Hogan. Like, he's not on that. But, like, he is, if you look at the totality of his career and the influence that he's had for over generations. I say one of the greatest. You could arguably include him on a Mount Rushmore. If you wanted to, if you wanted to go that far.
Absolutely. You might want to go to the next WWE event, and that's good news because today's sponsor is SeatGeek. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events every single day on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. WWE events have been cracking lately. Don't miss the action. They put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you're getting a good deal. Each ticket is graded to make sure you get a good deal. Look for the green dots. Green means good. Red means bad. Every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the events with swaps. And, you know, I came through for you guys. Use my code Logan for $20 off tickets.
That's right down $20 the
off your first purchase with the promo code Logan. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app. Back to the show.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you think wrestling, and you mentioned it just then about the pains you're feeling, is about ignoring the pain and ignoring the ladders to the chest? And because when I first started, I was shocked at how things hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you watch it on TV, and people who don't watch wrestling assume that, you know, the mat is padded and bouncy like a trampoline, and they assume the ladders are fake and the chairs are fake and the tables are fake. And
sure,
when I found out that none of it was, it took a second to be like, oh, I'm just gonna have to suck this up. Like, is that what it is? Just ignore and suck it up.
Yeah, there's just a level of suffering that you have to be willing to endure. That's no joke. And I think people, you know, obviously there's a level of you know, workmanship to it. Like, you know, I'm not really trying to end you with a ladder to your body, but also there's no fighting it. If I'm throwing a ladder at you, they are just hard steel ladders, just metal ladders, and they're just going to attack your body. You're just going to try to survive it as best you can. And so, yes, it's essentially just, he's shaking his head like, what are we doing? You know,
because you don't understand, Mike. You don't,
well,
you know,
in my limited WWE experience, very limited, it all of that hurt.
It hurt.
All of it hurt. Now, I will say this. For me, at least, in the 20 seconds that I was in there, it's adrenaline. At least in the very beginning when you first start, you're in shock.
Sure.
I'm being manhandled by a large man in front of 35,000 people right now. Like, but you're once that wears off, you're like, oh, shit, dude. What did I do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff in the moment that really is not great, you know? And obviously, it takes you out of it. But, like, yes, the adrenaline will get you through the match, the process, especially the early parts. And then when you're kind of like later in the matches, you're just riding that, like, whatever that euphoria is of the match itself, and that like late game sort of push, whatever it is, you get that kind of feeling. But then, I mean, if you go to the back and sit down for 20 minutes when you try to move, it's like, oh god.
But isn't it, do you guys ever get in that like state of mind? I remember just from like traumatic injuries and stuff like that of the past, like being in ICU, where you almost dig into this like internal warrior that's inside you, and it makes you feel awesome to know that you're still fucking cooking through the pain. You know what I'm saying? Like, you tap into it.
Yeah, there is something very warrior-esque about it. And it's like, you know, the physicality, as we're kind of like saying, this hurts a lot. There's something about the physicality, and I assume anybody in contact sports will feel similarly. Like, sometimes it brings out like this animal in you, you know, like getting punched or getting rocked by something is like, when we have a big match, I always kind of like the first one to just be snug, just in there. Just crack me with something good, you know. Obviously, don't break my jaw, but just get, like, hit, pop me with a forearm, give me a good chop, something where I can just get that spike right through the top of your head, where you're just like, let's go, you know, like. I like that vibe. So, like, you know, we do a lot of matches. Live events, stay away from me. I don't want any of that. Don't touch me. But, like, when it's a televised pay-per-view, like, big night, whatever it is, I'm ready to go. Let's turn it up. We'll deal with the consequences later.
For sure.
Well, I was going to say, because, yes, that warrior does come out, and that pain can activate you in a really cool way, but the issue is he got to perform on Monday as well. Or Friday as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, the schedule is grueling. The
schedule is nuts, yeah.
You have to work out. I would imagine eat healthy, learn the matches, and then perform week after week after week after week.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I kind of skipped.
Well, yeah, you did. You skipped all that.
Which is why the people at WWE Universe don't like me.
Yeah, you get to just show up every once in a while like, hey, guys, I'm here. Yeah.
I did it. Yeah. I did it. Everybody's got their own path, though, you know? Yeah, My path is for me. Your path is for you. That's just how it is. So, like, there's, you know, I gave you a lot of flack leading up to the match of Mania for that very thing. But truth be told, over the years, you're not the first. You're not the first guy who's come from a different world into our world and, you know, brought more eyes to our product and vice versa. So, like, it is what it is. But, yeah, man, the schedule is it's one of a kind. There's really nothing like it.
I don't understand how it's possible. It's a well-organized machine with, what, 500 employees?
Yeah, it's a very small billion-dollar company. Like, yeah, it's very small. It's not, like, it's not crazy as far as, like, infrastructure is concerned, but it's wild. I mean, I did last year. I wrestled 120 some matches.
Oh my
God. I'll tell you what, that's the low end of my career. Oh. Years that I've not been injured, like non-injury years, non-pandemic years, that's like the low end, because we're only doing three shows a week usually. So, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or sorry, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for me. Some people Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When I first started on the road with WWE in 2012, I was doing a 5-day week every week. I'm not even kidding. It was I would wrestle Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We would do live TV Monday, then we would tape SmackDown on Tuesday. This is before the rosters were split. So that was I had some years where I was wrestling 230 matches a year. That's just matches. Not even, we're not talking about media appearances, we're not talking about extra travel days, none of that. That's just matches. So I was on the road like nonstop. I could have just lit. There were some weeks where it was pointless to go home. It was like, why am I going home for 6 hours to unpack my bag and repack it and then just go out again? It was nuts.
To have a schedule that rigorous, it's obvious that you have to love what you do. And you obviously love wrestling. I get these clips on my TikTok of you performing in front of 20 people.
Very few.
Sometimes,
yep.
Like a young teenage Seth Rollins.
Yep.
But did you realize that it was going to be all of that? Was it ever too much? Is it what you signed up for, or did you kind of just take the bullet to the chin and suck it up and go?
You know, this was just my first love, you know? So it was kind of everything that I signed up for. I guess, you know, I'd always heard like mythological stories about guys' schedules, you know, like Ric Flair's, you know, crazy schedules, NWA World Champion in the 80s, or like kind of Bret Hart in the 90s and what he was doing for WWE in the early 90s and stuff like that as champion. So like, I always heard like these kind of like mythological little stories about these guys' schedules. So I was sort of prepped for it in that way. And like I said, it's my first love, man. So like, I mean, I was willing in many ways to sacrifice relationships, friendships, time at home, time with family, and all of that stuff for what I mean. It's the way you would in any sort of, you know, if you have something that you love more than anything, you're just going to put that first. And it's very selfish in a way, because that's the only way I could find to succeed in the industry. But I don't have regrets for the time I spent like kind of suffering or going through it. Like, there was never, like I was saying, 230 matches, which sounds insane to me now, but like when I was 26 and you put me on the road with WWE for the first time, I'm living my childhood dream. Like, the thing that I wanted to do when I was 4 years old, like, I'm getting the chance to do it. There was no limit to how much I would have stretched myself to succeed.
The days off, the 110 days off a year were probably the days you hated. You're like, dude, I can't wait to get back, yeah, no, back to work.
I was addicted to the grind. I really was. I loved it. Dude, there were times when I would show up, like we had, like I mentioned those 5 days, and like I'd be like, well, I got to work out. Well, when am I going to work out? Well, we just drove from, you know, I don't know, St. Louis to Kansas City after a live event on Friday or Sunday, and I got TV the next day, call times, you know, 2 or 1 or whatever it is, but it's 4 in the morning now. I'm like, do I go to sleep or do I go to the gym? Well, I'll just sleep some other time. So I would just go to the gym at 4 or 5 in the morning. I'd pop in and get a workout in and then go in the hotel, sleep for a few hours, then go to TV. But like, I loved it. I loved it. You couldn't get me off the road. Like when I would go home, I would feel out of place. I would feel out of place. Yeah. My girlfriend at the time, I just remember feeling bad for her because I was like, I felt so like foreign when I was home. It just wasn't comfortable. I was, by the next day, like the first day I was like, ah, I'm home. By the next day I was like, all right, gotta go. What's the next thing? Where are we going this weekend? So it was an interesting time for me in my mid-20s.
Did you have an extreme heel run? You did, right? Like,
yes.
you were big time booed for a while.
Yeah. I mean, the audience goes up and down with me. You experience the side that they really enjoy, but yeah. I think being paired with you has kind of helped bring that out a little bit.
For sure.
But yeah, we first started in 2012 with the Shield. If anybody knows, it was me, Roman Reigns, John Moxley, who's over in AEW now. And the three of us were like this. We were just in tack vests and like riot gear we just burst onto the scene like a badass boy band, you know. Like we took over pretty quick. And then when I infamously betrayed the Shield in 2014, I think it was. That started the run of hatred, okay. And then it was pretty strong there for a few years.
Yeah,
yeah, it was pretty rotten.
I ask because I'm obviously a heel, and I like it.
Yeah.
But I didn't at first.
Oh, really?
When I first got there and people started booing me, I really took it personal.
Oh, what? You were just like, why don't they like me?
I just didn't understand. I didn't understand.
Really?
Dynamic?
I was pissed. Bruce Pritchard came back. He's like, that was amazing. They hate you. Like, why is that amazing? Like, I'm affected by this. Yeah. Now I eat it up.
Oh, that's so fun.
And I've started to play with just one-on-one interactions with people in the front row who are booing me.
Yeah.
I got to say, the WWE fans have balls, sir. These people, I'm like, I will get in their face, and they're flipping me off. Fuck you. I'm right here. Like, I'm sorry, sir. I could end your life. Where you stand. I obviously won't because it's legal, but the fact that they have no regret, they have no signs of backing down right in front of my face.
Do you want to know why?
They got respect from me.
It's because they think you're a character and you want, you know, which you but, are. But, like but we Ken, saw it with Kevin Ken. Said, remember with Ken that time? One of our friends, we were in the front row and they got lippy with each other, one of our guys in the front row of one of the events. And Ken poured his beer on the guy. Which actually was a little bit overboard.
That's because, a little overboard.
No. Because the reason why was because he got Ken first. He like pushed him back. So Ken poured the beer on.
Okay.
The front row of these events gets wild.
Yeah.
Like it's
crazy,
a wild
dude.
Place to be.
But I think what Kevin said is like they're in character too.
100%.
We're all there to have fun. And now I'm leaning into it. Now I'm liking it.
Yeah.
And they love to hate me.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It is quite the journey for me.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's dad, who I just met like 2 days ago, will be coming to Money in the Bank.
Oh, fantastic.
And so I'm prepping her. I'm like, yo, like they're gonna be calling me a wanker. the fuck you Logan chants are coming.
Yep.
But sometimes it can go too far. And I know you had an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Where a large fan.
Yes, he did.
Came sprinting at full speed and knocked you down while you were
barreled
going backstage.
Me. Just barreled me, man.
What was that?
Dude, so first of all, this guy, I want to preface it by saying I felt, when I found out about everything, I felt very bad for this guy. This guy, there's some mental disability going on there. His connection from reality is not all there. He was catfished online by somebody pretending to be me, I believe.
What?
Yep. There was some amount of money exchanged for whatever he was, you know, being asked for. And this is not a new phenomenon. Like that people will do this with, it happens a lot with our girls, right? So people will catfish as our female superstars and like say, oh my, they'll just prey on these people who are a little slower and they'll prey on them and they'll be like, oh my brother's sick in the hospital. Could you send, you know, money? But they don't ask for money. They ask for it in like gift cards. And so like, it's insane. There was one with Becky actually, and we ended up, this person finally figured out that they were being catfished or something. They showed up in the front row of a show and brought this Ziploc bag of gift cards that they had sent, because what they'll do is they'll buy them and they'll scratch the codes off and then just send the codes via whatever, you know, via text. And then, so the person gets all the cash from the gift card. And it was like, I mean, I added it all up. We're talking thousands of dollars, of dollars that they had given to Becky for her brother in the hospital or something like that. Or like, it was wild. So basically this guy had been catfished by somebody pretending to be me, asking for money for whatever crises they were going through.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Through, and this guy had given him some money, and he had reached his breaking point. So we're in Brooklyn and he jumps. I finished a match with Finn Balor and I'm coming to the back and I'm walking up the ramp like I always do. And our floor camera there in the aisle is named Stewie and he's just following me like he always does. And then like it happened instantly to me, like because I'm not even thinking like, oh, somebody's gonna come out of the audience, I should be ready for this, you know, that's what we have security for, that's what the building security's for. And you just don't think that's gonna happen, so like your brain is shut off from that part. You're just in the performance. You're like, I'm just talking to Stewie, I'm just, you know, talking shit, just doing my thing. I was a bad guy at the time, so I'm just dancing around doing my weird Seth Rollins stuff. And I'm not paying any attention. And like in retrospect, what I remember is seeing somebody come around the corner running, which isn't unusual either, because sometimes they're setting up pyro in the entrance for somebody else. And he was wearing, you know, like all, like he was just in t-shirts and a pants. So like he was kind of nondescript. And so I just saw him running and didn't think anything of it. And then like by the next thing I know, he's cutting the corner and just zips right by Stewie and just straight football tackles me. Form tackles me right there on the ramp. And it was terrifying because I was, like I said, I'm not prepared. So my instinct was to just try to get a hold of his head. And he's kind of like clawing at me. Like he didn't have any weapons. Thank God he had nothing on him, you know, but he's like just kind of clawing. He's not really throwing any punches or anything like that. I think he's like grabbing my hair. So I have him trying to get him, but he's like a little ball. Like
he was a big guy.
Yeah, he's a stout man, but he's short, so he's like a little ball. So like I couldn't quite get a hold of him, and like security jumped quick. Our referee actually jumped quick. Everybody was trying to get him off, but he had like a hold of my hair. I haven't divulged this part of the story yet. To try to dislodge him, the only thing that I could do, because I didn't want to punch him, I didn't want to hit him. The only thing that I could do, I saw like he was on top of me, over me. All I saw was his legs were kind of like this. So I just reached up and just.
No!
Of course, I had to get this guy off me. I didn't know what was going on, so I just reached up and just snatched. It was a squeeze. Just a hard squeeze. He had my hair, and he finally got, you know, pried off.
Oh, that'll get him off.
Yeah, it got him off. It got him off there.
It was
nerve-wracking, dude, especially in the moment once I realized, you know, a split second after he got me when I realized what was going on. I was like, oh.
This is serious.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. I mean, if he had a shank, if he had any sort of sharp object, I would have just been sliced and diced, man.
Yeah.
It's very, very scary.
Did you ever give him the gift cards back?
Yeah,
this was not the gift card guy. This was not the gift card guy. I will say,
I was going to ask him the same question. Say you all those Cheesecake Factory gift
obviously
cards.
The guy was arrested. He was arrested by the police that night, and like they asked if I wanted to press charges, and You know, I didn't. I asked that the NYPD just try to find a way to help him, because I knew that he was. Once I saw what happened online, like afterwards, you know, when all the kind of stuff popped up on Twitter afterwards, like, who is this guy? What was he doing? And I think he posted a video the next day when he like had made bail or something like that. And it was clear that he was not in a proper state. Yeah. I kind of got what was going on. So when they started following up, I was like, look, this guy doesn't need to go to prison. He needs help. He needs some help. So if there's anything, any services you guys offer for, you know, people in situations like this, please, you know, do that on my behalf. So
you're a good guy.
So hopefully that happened. I have not heard anything about it. No, I haven't heard anything about that. But it was a very unfortunate incident all the way around. I'm happy that nobody was hurt. And hopefully he's gotten.
Well, he might have been hurt a little bit by his nuts.
But. Yeah. But I mean, if that's the worst of it, then so be it. You know
that catfish shit is gonna get worse with the AI, dude.
Oh,
so,
of course.
So, for example, I got AI scammed recently.
Yes.
Me personally, because I did a hair surgery in Turkey
okay.
a while back. And I made this video where I was like, yo, I got hair surgery in Turkey. It was like a sponsored thing. Like, yep. I went and got it done, right? And I was like, oh, it was the best thing I ever did. My hair's growing back quick. And they took that part of the YouTube video. And then at one point it just cuts and they added, and then it was just me talking.
Over B-roll. Like,
but
footage
I
of
wouldn't
the product.
Do this surgery again because works better.
And since
you
he
just
has a podcast,
pour it into your hair.
They
and
can take every word he's ever
your
said.
Voice.
And they used sentences. My voice and turned it into a promotion for this hair fiber product. You're fucked. Shaw, everybody, like the whole legal team, you're fucked. I don't care if you're in Bulgaria. I know exactly how much you're making on drop shipping, $38,000 last month, and I'm coming for fucking all of it, dude. I'm not playing to that. Dude, fucking coming for you, bro. This is like my WWE.
Wow.
This is like my WWE.
Dude,
bro.
The words that I got scammed by an AI because I went and got hair surgery in Turkey. Those words just came out of your mouth. What world are we living in?
Yes, that's
2023.
Correct.
This is the life that we're living as human beings. We cannot take this for granted. We got to live with gratitude right now, because that is a sentence that if you had uttered even 50 years ago, people would have locked you up. They'd have thrown you in. Yeah, 100%.
They'd be grabbing my nuts and squeezing.
Unreal that those words just came out of your mouth and it's a real sentence and we're all like, yep, mm-hmm. Yep,
yeah,
that's
man.
It. That's so crazy. I can't believe they did that to you. That's real life, bro. What are we doing? Insane.
Yeah. Shit's gonna get funky, dude.
It's only gonna get crazy,
especially with that Apple Vision coming out now. You seen Apple Vision?
I haven't dug into it. It's the goggle gimmick, right?
Dude, you can look at the app that you want to play with, and the device can recognize where you're looking, and then from the side, just pinch your finger as the click.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's where we're at. So imagine now it's these big clunky goggles, right? But when they can like shrink to like,
of course,
contact size. I can't imagine what the world's going to look like in 50 years. Inshallah, I'm still alive to witness it, but we're advancing at a rapid pace. I wanted to mention just on a fan attacking thing really quick once, because this happened to Triple H once.
Yeah.
This is like a notorious story, right? Yeah. Like some guy went in the ring and Triple H legitimately suplexed the shit out of him.
Just dropped him, yeah.
Do I need to be concerned for things like this? Like, I don't want to be caught off guard, because I feel like my person will have a shank.
Yeah. So I've had this. So we mentioned this guy from Brooklyn, the one you're talking about, the infamous one. He's the one that got to me. I've had three other instances where people have tried to get after me. One got in the ring. One guy was also in Brooklyn. Another guy in Brooklyn. I'm not saying nothing about the Barclays Center. Step it up. I'm making my entrance, and he just hops the rail and gets on the aisle and just does my entrance with me. And it was so weird, dude. And I'm just like I'm walking, and I didn't do anything to him because he didn't do anything to me. He just was like, he's like, I'm part of his crew now. You know what I mean? And then like he got to the bottom of the ramp and got tackled by security quickly. Another one, a guy got all the way in the ring, and like he was just walking towards me, and I shoved him. And luckily, like when I shoved him back, a referee was on the outside of the ring and just tripped him, like came in and tackled him and tripped him, and then it was over. But like, dude, it's scary. I say head on a swivel,
yeah,
for sure. You just never know, especially like you don't know the mental state of somebody, and then you add alcohol into the mix. You don't know what people are gonna do when they're inebriated. Luckily, building security is like usually really good, so everybody's going through metal detectors. Yeah. So like, there's generally a chance that you're not gonna get that they're not gonna have anything, but you just never know. So I say no. I say you're probably fine, but definitely head on a swivel.
For sure. I'll keep it on a swivel. I just don't want to get in trouble if I clock someone.
If someone jumps the rail and you clock them, you will not get in trouble. Right. That is. So you mentioned Seth the Triple Rollins H one. When you get in the ring, are you? I mean, obviously you want to avoid these situations. Like I said, with the guy who got me, I'm like, I don't want to be violent with you. I want to subdue you. But yeah, no one's going to fault you in that situation because you have to assume that it's volatile. Yep. You can't assume he's coming to give you a hug. You know what I mean? That's just.
You might get your first dub.
Yeah. that was low. He regrets it instantly. I can see it on his face.
If you have a problem with me, you can take it back to this podcast in that hallway, because I swear to God, I'll frog splash you off a balcony, brother.
He will.
I believe it.
I've seen it.
I have too.
You are a coach.
Yeah.
Of a wrestling academy.
I own a wrestling academy. You call me a coach. Sure.
So these kids,
mm-hmm,
saw some of them.
Yep.
You're pretty intense.
I can be.
You're a pretty intense coach.
I can be.
I feel like you're, since you're as good as you are at what you do, it's got to be hard to have someone like you as a coach because your expectations must be high for these people.
So I think that's what people pay for, right?
Yeah.
They come to the school for me, so true. They pay for my opinion. But we've been coaching at Black and Brave for 10 years now, nearly. And so, I mean, I understand very much what it was like to be starting off in the industry. And so I don't have super high expectations, but I also, you know, based on my what I would consider vast amount of experience, I do have a good idea. And look, wrestling is art. So it's like, there's no perfect way to do it. There's no, you have to do it this way, and that's the only way. Mm. There's a million ways to do this. There's tons of, you know, flavors of ice cream, if you will. You know, my favorite's vanilla, yours is chocolate, yours is strawberry. Yeah. None of us are wrong. Wrestling is the same way. But there are some very specific ways to make things good. And I am fairly stringent when it comes to this is what I know. My number one rule, if it's good, it's good. Yeah. Sounds simple enough. If it's good, it's good. But when you see something, you hear something, you know if it's good. And I know when something's good just by watching it. And I try to keep an open mind. So like if they have an idea, I won't just crap on it right away. You know, let me see it. Let's watch it. Let's play it out. Okay, what can we do to make it better? But if they're not doing their footwork right on a headlock takeover, I'm going to get hot. Yeah. I'm going to get hot after 10 weeks. I'm like, you got to have that headlock takeover down. You know, you got it. You're not Logan Paul. You got to walk before you can run. Your path ain't his path. You want to go do his path? Go do his path. You got to do our path if you came to our school. So yeah, I'm fairly stringent, but I'm not, my expectations aren't through the roof. I don't think anybody's going to come out of there. It's a 12-week course. I don't think anybody's coming out of there ready to main event WrestleMania or anything like that. You're coming out of there with the knowledge to be able to go out into your world and, you know, paint your pictures and learn as an artist. I'm giving you the tools. I'm giving you the skills. It's your job to go out and paint masterpieces.
Is that why they call you the visionary, the architect?
Yes, kind of. So I got the nickname actually because when we were in the Shield, I was like the guy. You've done like regular tag matches, you know, six man, you add another body and you can kind of see like, you've got this ladder match coming up, so like there's seven bodies going around in there. Royal Rumble even, right? Like it's so much harder when you have all these different variables. So I got the like architect kind of moniker because when we were in the Shield, we were doing tons of six-man tags. And like I just have this ability to like see things kind of before they happen. I can like see how they're going to play out in my head and like, I'm able to like chessboard it, like just put things in the perfect places to get the reactions that I want. So that's where I kind of got the architect that's morphed into the visionary sort of moniker. It's a slightly real life thing.
No, it's cool. I got to witness it. The crafting, the storytelling is, as an outsider, so intriguing to me. And now I get it. Now I'm invested in the WWE. I'm watching Friday Night SmackDown. I'm watching Monday Night Raw. Whereas before, I don't think I fully appreciated the art of it, the story of it. Certain things need to connect to flow into the next thing. Completely unrelated, but I know since you guys were in the Shield together, and now he's the face of the business right now. Who's taking the title from Roman Reigns?
If it's up to me, it's me. You know, but I don't know, man. I'd say whoever does is primed again for a rocket to the moon.
It'd have to be, no?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's certainly operating on a level the very few have in the history of our industry.
For sure.
You know, he everything he does, he really found his groove being the tribal chief, this kind of mob boss character. He really found it. When he was with us in the Shield, he was learning. And then when he was out on his own, he couldn't quite figure out exactly what he wanted to be, and that's just a lack of experience. You know, he's got his foot in the wrong shoe kind of thing. You know, the company saw him in a certain way, and I don't think that aligned with what his personality is and the way he saw himself. And then, you know, one of the things that 2020 and 2021 gave us as an organization was an opportunity to try things that we may not normally do because nobody was watching TV at the time. Yeah. We were still doing live shows every single week, but we had a chance to play with our characters and take some risks. And one of those things that happened was in wrestling jargon, turning Roman Reigns heel, which maybe would never have happened had we not, you know, been stuck in a warehouse for 18 months or whatever. But it turned into one of the best possible outcomes for him and for the industry. If you look at the story arc of what the Bloodline and Roman Reigns has been over the past few years, it's virtually unmatched in our industry. It's virtually unmatched. It's so hard because of injuries, because of the crowd not always jibing what you're doing. You got to change stuff sometimes from what you want. But to be able to consistently tell just a very logic-based, emotion-based story for years on episodic television. I mean, we're talking, again, every week, 52 weeks a year for years. Like Game of Thrones, they tell a story in 10 episodes, right? And that plays out over years when you have the continuity of the stories. But to be able to do that with Usos, Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, yeah, Paul Heyman for years, every single week, that's wild. Nowhere else on television or in movies are you going to find anything like that. It doesn't even come close. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. And so, like I said, what he's set up, that's the thing. Who's going to be the guy to take the throne and really push the industry into the next phase? Because this is his era, his title. SmackDown is his show. Like, whoever takes that from him, it's going to be a big deal.
I hate to say it, but he's excellent.
Yeah, I know.
He's excellent.
There's no arguing that. You can say a lot of other things about him, but you cannot deny how incredible he is at what he does.
It's also so cool to see the character development and see people find themselves in the WWE. I mean, you obviously had multiple versions of that. I think the one you're on right now is awesome.
Thank you.
Roman's doing his thing right now, but he found that. I got to see Dom Mysterio do it in real time.
Yep.
We had our first WrestleMania together, right? And now he's got the most heat in the WWE. And watching it, watching Dom turn against his dad and grow out his mullet. And longer that mullet got, the more evil he got. and he got even more tattoos at the time. He literally like evolved into this thing that now works.
Yeah.
So is that what it is? Is it just throwing shit at the wall until the audience reacts, clicks with something, and then you run with it?
Yeah, dude. I mean, you can like best laid plans, you know, you can come up with this great idea, but if the way you see it isn't the way other people see it, it's not going to work. And that's not just wrestling. That's everything, right? You got this vision for what, and sometimes WWE's got a reputation for kind of like forcing things, but as characters, it's on us to figure out. It's our brand. Like, yes, they are, you know, WWE's the overarching theme, but like I have to take responsibility for myself, and WWE gives us the autonomy to be able to do that because we have these live events, we have TV every week. We get to, if we hear something, not everybody's going to hear that. If we see something, not everybody's going to see that about us. They can't keep track of all of these people in every single second of everything they do. So, like, you know, you could kind of see, I wrestled Dom in his first match. Speaking of the pandemic, I wrestled him in his first match on live television. We did this great story with the Mysterio family that no one probably ever saw, where I obliterated this kid with a kendo stick. Yeah. Like, obliterated him, dude. You can find the images online. I mean, I just annihilated him with it. And it built to this match with him and I at SummerSlam. It would have been 2020 probably. And it was wonderful to see where he was then, you know, potential. And he was a good guy. He's a baby face. Yeah, he's just straight white meat. I'm Rey Mysterio's kid and all that. And you could, for me, I remember I was sitting in a live event not long ago, and he was getting just booed out of the building. And one of our producers, Hurricane Helms, was sitting there with me, and he's like, he's got a little bit of a lisp. He's like, if you'd have told me six months ago he'd be a top heel in the business, would you believe it? And I was like, yes, I that's the visionary part. I could see this coming. I'm like, he's not built to be a babyface. He's Rey Mysterio's kid. Like, he's the same thing. Like, people think he's getting handed everything, you know, being Rey's kid. And like, it's so easy to want to hate nepotistic jerks, right? It's so easy to want to people like digging off their family name. It's easy to hate that. And I'm like, they're gonna love him at first, but eventually it's all gonna come back around. But the risk is, so you said, you know, you were concerned being booed, and you're not alone in that. People don't like that sometimes. It's a hard pill to swallow, you know, like it's hard for you to not feel like it's personal.
At first, for sure.
Yeah,
It's so unnatural to be like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So for him to be able to feel that, take that in, and then apply it every single week, and trust the people around him to telling him exactly what to do, to be able to do that, and then turn it into where it is now, where he can't pick up a microphone to say words. Mm-mm. Because they'll just boo him out of the building.
You have
dude.
To see this guy.
It's fantastic.
He raises it to his mouth, and he literally can't talk. He probably can't even hear himself when he's talking.
Yeah, and it's so fun to watch. And here's the thing is, like, I'm with him on these live events all the time, and he's a sponge for information. So, like, I'll tell him something. Hey, you should check this out. Watch yourself do this. This is maybe a better way to do it. And he'll apply it the next day. And it works, and he's like, oh, light bulb. And then you could just see the little things that he does every single step of the way start to improve. You got to remember, he's still like 23 young, or something. He's a very young cat, man. Yeah. So he's still like growing into his body. He's learning, you know, how to do this thing, and like trying to fill. Again, we talked about Rey Mysterio earlier on, one of the greatest of all time. You can't fill those shoes, dude. Yeah. You will never be able to. I can't imagine the pressure that puts on you. It, So for him to be able to develop himself as something completely different than his dad, that's got to take so much weight off of his shoulders. Totally. He doesn't have to be his father. He can be his own thing. Yeah. And that's fantastic.
See, you know what's tricky about the heel thing for me? It's like, in basketball or football, right, you have away games, but eventually you're going to go home. For you, or like for heels in this space, every night is an away game.
Uh-uh. I went to Cleveland.
Didn't they still boo you there?
A little, but not even nearly as much.
But they didn't hate you as much in Cleveland.
Yeah. No, that's his hometown. But I wanted to say, the reason why I feel like it might be a tougher adjustment for someone like you is like, these guys go out there under a moniker. You know, if the Undertaker, obviously not him, but if somebody's a heel at any given time, their character is a heel. He goes out, his real name's Logan Paul, he goes out as Logan Paul.
Yeah.
So when he gets booed walking into a place, like in a way, like you're adjusting to the idea that they're booing you. And the only thing that he's ever done in life was played a character. He's never played a character before this. It's always been him. You've had to like kind of detach yourself from the idea that they don't like you, and started to come around to the idea that they don't like the character that you play in the WWE.
You said it exactly, and I realized that the noise, the boos, the cheers, that's the currency. That's what I'm getting paid to do. That's why I'm there.
That's it.
If they're silent, that's I'm lame and I'm gonna get fired. If they're cheering, it's not as fun for the type of guy I am at the moment.
Wait, but, could they ever turn him into a baby?
Maybe in a decade.
Absolutely.
In the work.
Absolutely. But so you kind of touched on that a little bit. But it's hard because wrestling, like you mentioned, we play characters. We do. But it is hard to understand that because wrestling is like this weird in-between area for characters and real people because the best characters in wrestling are personalities just turned way up. And like, our audience does not see us the same way as George Clooney in a movie.
For sure.
You know, if George Clooney goes out and has like a stinker in a movie, like people just go, oh, bad George Clooney movie. Oh, well, it's probably not his fault. He still did great. So whatever. He's not fully judged on like the character, the content of the character in that movie. If he's like a scumbag in there, like no one's like, oh, I hate George Clooney now because he played this rotten mob boss in this movie. Like they're just like, oh wow, George Clooney killed it. He was so good. But like wrestling's weird because there's like this, like I was just on the Today Show the other day. I go as Seth Rollins. I don't go as Colby Lopez. You know what I'm saying? So like it's this weird, it's cool because it's the only thing that it's like that is like, but it's also weird and creates some strange mental processes going on.
You're locked into it.
Yeah.
You're tied to it.
Yeah. It's a funky world we live in. It's a funky world we live in. I don't know any other way to describe it. It's like its own space, man.
Do you find a little bit of solace in your family life?
Oh yeah. 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 My daughter's 2.5 now. She's the best. Like that, I never thought I would want to have kids, really. And I mentioned earlier the schedule I had when I was in my mid-20s, no time. And I just was like, hey, you know, if it happens, it happens. I had, you know, was dating girls that they were fine. You know, it was great girls, nothing bad to say about them. But it was just, it wasn't, you know, I didn't feel like I want to have kids with this person. I want to be married to this person.
Placeholders.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, you know, it's just, I don't know about placeholders, but I mean, I cared about them. They were great people, but you know, it is what it is, you know? And I was too focused on myself. If I'm being fair, if I'm being truly honest, it wasn't them. It's not you. It's me. It was me. I just, like I said, wrestling was my first love, and I wasn't going to put anything before that, including relationships and family. And then once, you know, me and Becky got together 4 years ago, just, I was like, oh, okay. I get it now. Here we are. And then we had a kid, and she's the best. And so like, that's the time it's hard for me to shut down from the business because I'm in it so much and I do love it so much. But like, if ever there had been a time where it wasn't my first love, having my wife and kid probably has taken that over. I would say it's probably now number two.
If you guys ever get in arguments at home, is it you and getting in headlocks? Like what does that look like?
I wish. That sounds a lot easier than having to deal with a woman's emotions. A lot less dangerous, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's got a mean forearm though. She's got real bony elbows, so she throws an uppercut or a forearm at me. I had to get her ready for we were in the ring getting her ready when she was coming back from having our kid. So we were in the ring a lot, and like I'd never really worked with her, you know. Just guys and girls don't mix that much, you know. So like we're in the ring, and you know we're kind of going at it and doing stuff, and like she popped me with a forearm, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, why is this hurt so much? You're tiny. And I mean, she's feisty and gritty, and you know she's got some oomph behind her, but like it was the bony. It's the bony elbow.
She's Irish, right?
Yeah, she's Irish.
She's Irish.
Dublin. Yeah.
She's got a mean streak too. Luckily, we don't argue very much. Knock on wood. Like we're pretty on the same page, which is dope. But like, the times that I have frustrated her, it's like, okay.
Watch out for that elbow.
Yeah, yeah. I'll stay away for a minute. You just do you. Yeah, cause she's Irish. She's got that streak.
She's another impulsive alum.
She's an incredible personality.
Spunky as hell. Incredible personality.
She's the man.
Like it makes it, the man. It makes it's such a cool link up, like you two, like from an outside looking in standpoint, and just like. The two characters coming together, it's dope.
Yeah, thank you, man.
There's a lot of wrestler love within the industry, right? I mean, because you guys do the same thing.
Yep.
The travel schedules line up. It makes sense if you can find the person. Like Bianca and Montez, another example.
Yeah, I always thought that I was never going to, like, date another wrestler. I was like, I don't know, it's a bad idea. Mm. But then like you said, it, all that lines up, all that makes sense, and then and they're really the only people who get it. Like I found, at least, like it's just hard for anybody to really understand like the schedule, the commitment, and to have the passion for it. So the fact that we have all these things that line up for us makes it so easy. So the pressure's off. So like if I'm going through, if I'm having a rough spell, and like I've just I had a couple weeks or a bad, like I take if something doesn't go right on Monday, it. I get really upset about it. Like I'll emotionally eat it for a while, like for a few days. But like she gets that, so like there's no pressure for her for me to like, hey, get your shit together. We got this to do on Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, like she gets it. So like if she's got to pick up extra slack or something like that, or just be understanding, have a conversation. Like she knows how to talk to me when I'm not feeling great about how a promo went or something.
Awareness.
Like that
that awareness in relationships is insanely important as you start to get older.
It's 100%. Yeah. And just knowing, just understanding each other and understanding the things you guys go through and all that. And so, yeah, it's been a godsend, I think, at least for me. I hope for her as well, but it's been really nice. And I honestly couldn't have done the last 4 years without her.
That's very sweet. Amazing. I think you should take her to Bukkidi Beppo.
I'm going to find a Bukkidi Beppo. Although she has like a million, she's like, she can't eat gluten.
Oh yeah, don't take her to Bukkidi
Beppo. She can't eat gluten. She's vegetarian.
So. Oh, sweet green. Oh no. Take her sweet green.
Sweet green. Yeah, we got a sweet green right around
that's
the corner.
That's why her elbows are so sharp.
She loves a sweet green.
I hate superlatives, but I have to take this opportunity to ask, do you have a favorite match?
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Hard. I've done like... according to the interwebs, I've had like 2,000 matches. Jeez. So it's really hard for me to like pick one. And I'm a pretty harsh critic of myself, so I very rarely watch anything back.
Match moments, anything like when you cashed in, Money in the Bank at WrestleMania.
That's the defining one, right? Like that's the one that changed my career. Without that Money in the Bank contract and without that particular cash in, like I'm probably not sitting here having this conversation with y'all. So that's the one that stands out. I think, you know, that's the one that's gonna like live forever. I think, you know, I think in this industry, it's really about moments. Like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I have great matches every week, all the time. Mm. And that's not like I'm not saying, oh, I'm so great. I'm in a groove. Like
you're very good at what you do.
Yeah, like the crowd is with me. It's like we understand each other. There's a good synergy. So like I can have a great match, and they will get forgotten about in an instant. So like the business is really about moments that can last forever. You know, WrestleMania, like. What's a moment? How do we splash KSI through a table? How do we put him through a table?
Unbelievable.
Like these are things that what is the audience going to keep in their mind for more than 24 hours? Yeah. Because especially in the age of content where everything, and you know, I've heard many like media executives mention this, but everything is competition when it comes to media because it's all sort of just this one
noise.
It's way saturated, and WWE is the king of content. We have so much content, and so you have to go, how do you make moments that are going to last for any amount of time, that are going to register with people for years? The cash in at WrestleMania is the one where like I had a guy tell me a few years ago that for him, it was like his generation's version of Hogan slamming Andre at WrestleMania 3. And so I go, that's cool.
That probably made you feel awesome.
That's cool.
Because you remember that moment, obviously.
So I remember, dude, but yeah, Hogan and Andre. Yeah. I mean, I was too young for that, but like I know the picture, yep. Everything. Yep. You know it, the 93,000 Pontiac Silverdome main event, biggest WrestleMania. Like I have that one, like Hogan Warrior at WrestleMania 6,
yep.
Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12. Like I've got, you know, Rock and Hogan, WrestleMania 18, I think it was. Like there's all these big ones, and like to be included in that you know it's going to last for generations. Very few people get the opportunity to create moments like that in our industry, to be part of that. Like I said, if I didn't have that, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation.
But a lot of your highest rated matches are like as of recently. Like I didn't even know this, but evidently there's like a whole rating system matches.
Don't get me started on the rating system.
You have a very rare 5-star rated match with Cody Rhodes coming out of 2022. So, I mean, technically, you're right. You're at the top. You're at the peak, bro.
It's just those star ratings don't mean. Don't even say his last name. Don't even give him the credit on this podcast. Look,
he gave you 5 stars.
I know.
That's what Bukkidi Beppo gets.
Do you know, and if I'm not mistaken, like, I think that like Kurt Angle has no 5-star matches. Okay, one of the greatest of all time, and there's a plethora of these people. My point is, Dave's great. He's a historian. Dave Meltzer is his name. Yep. He's great. He's a great historian. He's been a part of the business for a long, long time. He started with the Wrestling Observer newsletter. That was his big thing. So they used to send out literal, actual newsletters every month to subscribers, just detailing what had happened here and there. Yeah, whatever had happened anywhere in wrestling that month. And, you know, he was big in Japan. He would look at everything in Mexico. Anything where there was wrestling going on that was drawing crowds, he was reporting on it, injuries, backstage news, all that stuff. And now there's this whole culture online because the backstage stuff is, you know, what are they going to do? Ooh, they're doing
this.
How
do they get
that.
This information?
Oh, there's moles everywhere.
Is
man.
There? Yeah, because I see these tweets, the rumors, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't even know about this. How do you know? And sometimes I do know about it, and it's true.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's leaking this information.
Dude, somebody out there is leaking it to somebody or telling somebody who's telling somebody who's telling somebody. You never know. You never know. You got to be very careful with your information in this industry. But he's great as a historian, but match ratings are silly. Match ratings are very silly.
Well, it's subjective.
Like
right?
I said, it's so subjective. Like, if it's good, it's good. Like I said, you know when something's good. I can watch a match on any show on the planet in front of a crowd of 70,000, in front of 20. I'm like, if the people are popping, it's a good time. That's the end of the game. But, like, to put star ratings on it, good for
was
you.
This Grand Theft
good Auto? Yeah, good for you. You found something that, like, people have latched on to, and it's fun to debate and all that stuff. But in the grand scheme, it really... It means very little.
Well, you know, ratings just do good nowadays. Like pizza, people just love being in on the idea of scoring this first.
Of course,
time, right? So it was always going to work. One thing that you've also gotten scored extremely high on, your walkout song.
Oh yeah, yeah. People seem to dig that thing, man.
The best.
I don't know if it's the best. I mean, there's some bangers.
Edge likes to think his is the best.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
No, I don't know if he said that.
I don't know if you people like that. To think that there are maybe some people out there who think that the Edges is the best.
Are you calling him the Edge?
The Edges.
The Edge. Edge.
Yeah, just no,
edge.
I give him an extra. It's like the Facebook. Okay. I go backwards.
You go deeper.
So I added it. Nice. To, right. Yeah.
It's hot right now. People love it, man. They're singing it in the streets. It's pretty wild.
They sing it. Bro, when you came in, when we were doing our thing, I couldn't get a word in.
Oh,
I
yeah,
couldn't get
yeah.
a word. They just wouldn't stop going, oh. Yeah. When do they start singing? Because I want my fans, all three of them, to sing my song. There's a chant in there. I just got a new song.
Oh, you got a new one?
When we were doing our thing, back and forth, I was like, I need a kind of sing song bit, whatever. When did the fans start vibing with the song in that way?
Dude, I debuted this song at WrestleMania in 2021. It was in Tampa. We only had it was a half capacity WrestleMania. It was still like the, oh, we're back, but we're not back. Yeah. Because we didn't even go back to full scale live events until like August of that year. But in March, we did WrestleMania outdoors. Tampa let us have half the people. So we did it in Raymond James, did the song. And when I was putting the song together, I kind of had a vision for like what I wanted people to do. And when we first put the song out, Vince McMahon was actually, you know, he heard it, he was just hearing it for like the first or second time, and he actually took a set of the Woes out. He didn't get the Woes. He was like, oh, that's not Seth Rollins, that's not Seth freaking Rollins. And I'm like, I'm telling you. And he's like, no, just trust me. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll trust you, you've only been doing this for 80 years, whatever. So like he took the Woes out, but in the back of my mind I was like, you just wait. No, they never went back in. The version you hear now is still the Vince version, but there's enough of the Woes that it caught on. And so it took a while because I was a heel. No one was singing my song. Yeah. They didn't care at first. And we weren't in front of people. So it wasn't until August that the songs debuted in front of people, like, you know, regularly. So then fast forward to 2022-ish. And like, it didn't happen for me. And I've told this a little bit, but I'll tell you guys here. I'm kind of a heel through most of, I'm a heel through most of 2022. I worked with the Edge, invaded his home, did all this bad stuff that I shouldn't do. But eventually I end up working with Matt Riddle. And there's this episode of Raw we did at Madison Square Garden. And at the end of the show, I don't remember what happened. Riddle has this match. At the end of the show, I come out and I stomp this man's head into steel steps. And normally, as a bad guy, this elicits a chorus of boos because Matt Riddle is a fan favorite. But I stomped this guy's head into steps, and I turn around expecting boos, and the crowd is just singing the song in the garden. And I'm like, okay, I think this is a thing now. I think this is going to be a thing. And sure enough, little by little, it just starts picking up, picking up, picking up, picking up. And then it turned into its own animal, man, to the point where, yeah, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. Did a thing with Finn Balor on Raw a few weeks ago, like, to the point where people online, the Twitterverse is like, it's annoying. It's too, it's, we don't like this. It's the new what chant. And I'm like, come on, guys.
No, if Twitter doesn't like it, you know it's good.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But music is like, it really is the great equalizer. It's like another mathematics. It's universally just understandable.
Yep.
If you have the right hit song to walk out to, it's a great way to start a match.
Even these wankers in London can even understand it.
You're a wanker. According to London, you're a wanker.
I'm not. They were chanting, Logan's a wanker. And so I'm walking back my thing, Friday Night SmackDown. I'm telling them individually, I'm not a wanker. I'm not a wanker. I'm not a wanker.
They were chanting, Logan's a wanker.
You tried to tell every one of the people that he's not a wanker.
I tried. I'm pitching them individually, and here's why I'm not.
Maybe you convinced one. It just starts with one, man.
Honestly, I'm a fucking wanker. Whatever. That thing between you and Riddle.
What about him?
Got pretty nasty in one of the clips I saw.
Mm.
He said his wife and kids left him.
Yeah, they did. Well, his wife did, yeah.
And then he got pissed. He's like, I'm not going to wrestle you. I'm gonna beat your ass.
Yes, sir.
That I felt something watching that split screen.
Yeah.
Was that too far, Seth?
No, I don't think there's ever such thing as too far. You remember it, though, right? And we're talking about it months later.
Yeah,
so there you go. That's what I'm talking about with moments, man. That's it. And we had a bit of a real life beef, if you will. I had a bit of an issue with him.
That explains that.
Yeah, so that you kind of got to see that play out on live television a little bit. Uh-huh. So, you know, it worked it to our favor because now we have a moment that's viral and something that you remember that affected you. So win-win-win, I would say.
How are things now?
Fine. Yeah. Totally good. I mean, look, I'm a professional. So like if we can work together, things that happen outside of here, that is what it is, you know. But like he apologized and we mended fences, and I'm all about like, I don't write anybody off. I'm not like one of those guys that's like, no second chances. You do wrong by me, I hate you forever. Like, I'm not that stubborn. It's not that serious, man. Like, unless you do some real nasty stuff. But like, you know, everybody makes mistakes. So like, I'm all about like forgiveness, second chances, what have you. So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'll forgive. Not always forget, but you know, I'm willing to move forward. And so he was a big man about it, came forward and apologized, and we were able to work together, and I'm happy for that.
The timing of this particular episode is weird because it's the day of Money in the Bank.
Today.
Do you have or any ideas about SummerSlam? Do you have your eyes on anyone? Does anyone have their eyes on you?
I would hope. I think there's a few people who've got their eyes on me. I mean, I go out there and put these open challenges on for these titles. I go down to NXT and work with Bron Breakker. You know, I've done a couple on Raw now. Damian Priest and stuff like that, and I've got Finn Balor tonight at Money in the Bank, but I don't know, man. I mean, we got a big show in Ford Field. We're gonna try to put tens of thousands of people in that place, and so I'm hoping for a good matchup. There's nobody that I'm like, I want that one. Mm. You know, like the one match that I haven't gotten. I had the one match with Roman for the title two Royal Rumbles ago. I haven't touched it. I think that's a WrestleMania match, but other than that, man, I don't know. I've been out there doing my thing for a long time. I've worked with a lot of the guys on the roster. I'd love to see somebody step up. I don't know who it's going to be, but I'd love to fight somebody and have a big time title match there.
Do you want
to
know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Okay,
but there are two guys that I would love to potentially have a match with at SummerSlam.
Okay,
I don't. Really know like how this works. Like, do I pitch a company? Do they pitch me?
Pitch them right now. Pitch them straight down the pipe.
Hey, Triple H. The two guys are Ricochet and LA Knight.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Ricochet.
For various reasons. So Ricochet is obviously, I think he's probably one of the most athletic guys in the WWE.
All time.
I would consider myself also extremely athletic in the WWE. Sure. And a part of me wants to
put those two things together.
I want to show him who the better athlete is. Oh, sure. I want to out-athlete the athlete in the WWE. I think we could have one of the most physically spectacular phenomenon shows of all time.
Five-star Dave night. Meltzer?
Yeah, five-star Meltzer
match. I would love to absolutely melt the house down with Ricochet.
Okay.
And then on the other hand, I see old man Ricker, LA Knight, coming in the WWE. They love him. I hate that they love him.
They love him, dude.
And they hate me, and they hate that I hate him.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit of a thing, dog.
There's something there, right?
I was in his face last night.
Oh, yeah.
It felt a little real. Like, I don't think he gets my thing
okay.
that well. And neither does the WWE universe. Like, he sort of speaks for them.
Okay.
And they appreciate the time and the fact that he's earned it. And,
yep.
I get that. And I'd love to take all of that away from him in one night.
You really are digging into this. I like that.
Hey, Triple H, you got two paths. but then, after SummerSlam, my brother, who is fighting on the same night in Dallas.
Okay.
As soon as my match ends, I'm going to hop on a PJ, fly to Dallas in my gear, walk in the ring with my brother for his fight against Nate Diaz. I'm going to try.
Are you going to make it?
I don't know.
We've been talking about this a lot.
If I'm going to make it, but I think if I do, it'll be minutes. Like, I walk into the venue, round one, Jake Paul, Nate Diaz starts. It's on August 5th.
Have you logistically looked at it? Like,
barely possible.
Oh, yeah.
So how incredible.
You'd have to open the show.
I requested first match.
Numero uno at SummerSlam.
Yep.
And then fly down to Dallas. I mean, Detroit to Dallas.
It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's 1 hour time difference. Jake will go on at 11. We did it. The math. It's barely doable.
Oh, because you get the hour back, too.
Yep.
Okay.
That'd be crazy.
Do you follow any of the boxing stuff?
A little bit. No, I mean, I follow MMA a bit more than straight boxing. But yeah, enough. Enough. I'm excited for that one. That's an interesting one. Nate in a pure boxing match. I don't know how that plays. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very curious to see. And look, I think Jake's got a bit of a power edge on him.
Yeah.
You know, Nate's not known for his one punch power.
But we'll see how much of an ability to take abuse edge Jake has versus Nate.
Yeah.
We know Nate could just go.
Yeah.
Nate
can
just keep going forever.
His chin is insane. Exactly. It's insane.
So it'll be interesting. You know, Jake's got the age. He's got the power for sure. So, my money is on Jake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're Nate Diaz, it helps taking hits when you got no brain. Listen, Seth, this has been a great episode.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys.
It's been great, dude. Maybe I'll see you in the ring in the future. But regardless, I believe we delivered on this podcast, dude.
This was a great one.
Yeah, for
it
real.
Felt great, dude.
For real.
Thanks, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me. And, good luck tonight.
Thank you. Be safe. Watch out
for them ladders. You win that case, you stay away from me, though, all right? You stay far away.
We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.